2,000 years ago, the latter rain is this latter outpouring of the Holy Ghost, and this Battery of Force is going to restore everything that's lost. Most of our preachers through the years since 1946 have picked that up, and most of them believe it today. That's why whenever we get to the book of Joel, automatically you get into a controversy on whether or not it's been fulfilled, what just happened here, because we've heard it preached through the years that Joel was talking about the church. And we have great conference preachers that preach on it. Brother Kraft preached on it at conference at Portland, Oregon, back in 69, 70 conference. And he talked about this battering child that God is bringing forth, and that it will, we should be careful we do not abort that child, which is exactly what's being preached right now by some of our preachers concerning this move of the Spirit that's sweeping over us. The same group of people that said that we destroyed the Latter Rain movement and it was of God, but you won't destroy this movement today, they are saying you must be careful that you do not abort this child, because God is giving us a revival and he's going to start something that's going to be worldwide, etc. So again, it has surfaced. So it's been there from time to time, it keeps coming back. It was there in Brenham's time. Brenham actually started the doctrine that got to be worldwide. Now that does not mean it had not been preached before. You can find basically the message preached in the days of Azusa Street. You can find it, some of the earlier preachers that preached it from time to time, but it never took hold. It never got to be something believed by our people until Brenham preached it. And then once he preached it, now 95% probably of our UPC preachers believe that. Yes, the kingdom now is a little more than that, but it is Latter Rain resurfaced and then added to. And that's in the charismatic rule where we get the test very quick.
Yes. What will come out of this that we see now? What will come out of it?
The same thing that came out of the Latter Rain movement. When it's all, when all the dust is settled, there's going to be people like myself who will still be preaching the truth, will be stronger in what I believe than ever. Died on down the line. And there's going to be a lot of people that's going to fade away like leaves and fall here and fall up. You know, we're going to lose the folk unless the Lord changes our mind. We're going to lose a lot of people. Because our people are being swept up. We forgot. We forgot what happened in the early 50s. We don't remember it. Most of you weren't even born. You didn't even know anything about it.
I heard one preacher preach on that. That all of our people will get over to that thought that they're going to
do it. They're doing it right now. They're doing it. They're doing it. In fact, an old lying church, old strong church. I've been talking to people lately who are beginning to change their views. They're saying, well, in fact, one old lying big office person told me the other day, he said, you know, the Latter Rain was a good thing. Said, it was the Lord, and we missed it. That's when the Lord tried to give us the gift of the Spirit, we didn't accept it. Now that's an old time. And then in my home church, there's a man there that told me the other day, he said, I think there are some things that have happened yet, and I don't think that the Lord could come back now. But for years, he always said, the Lord could come anytime. He started to care a little bit then. Not sure. Whole line of culture. I don't think you could ever have a greater falling away than has already fallen. You have had the time from 325 AD on through the Dark Ages, you had multiplied millions of people. By the time of 325, they estimate from 11 to 40 million people were in the church. That church fell away, and there was a great falling away. If everybody in the church today fell away, we wouldn't have that many. So you couldn't even have, it's not possible to have another great falling away that has been as great as that great falling away. So a great falling away did come first, and it has already been, and it's past. Yeah, so racial-wise, you know, know, is it possible to say, well, in this last day, there will be that proportion? I don't know, maybe. But what I'm saying is, I don't think we're dealing with, I think we're talking about, Paul is answering the question, when is this, you know, first of all, they said, hey, we got this tribulation going on. Is this it? No, what you're going through, it is tribulation, but it's not that much. Because first of all, there's going to be a great falling away of Jesus. And it's not. And now, he said, the Son of Man will have to be revealed, and then he's holding him back till he's taken away so he can come. So very likely that Antichrist has been revealed in the last few years. And they're just waiting on him. Long if you know the truth, you preach the truth, whatever it is, but you don't fight over it, and you don't get bitter at your brother over it. We wouldn't be able to keep and do that. Yeah, and it does. But there's a lot of people that wouldn't agree with me, and I wouldn't agree with them. We could be agreeable. We can disagree without being disagreeable. And I do my best to do that. I'm not going to fight anybody just because they don't agree with me on these kinds of things. Although I have noticed this. People that reject the biblical layout of things generally also accept other doctrines. Because, see, you got to now remember this. You got to spiritualize the Bible to believe mid-trib or post-trib. You cannot accept it just like it says. But the true post-trib, mid-trib person will tell you that. They have to admit, yes, there are things God's true about. They know that. But to me, if you start spiritualizing, can't take it literally, you make it say anything. So I can't go that way. But I have noticed that people that do have to spiritualize certain parts of their Bible start taking other doctrines pretty soon and get into trouble. So to me, although it's not directly connected with salvation, it does get connected with it before it's overused. And so to me, that's one reason I think a man ought to be clear on his whole Bible, not just parts of it. And I do think we need to teach and preach things and talk about it. At the same time, I don't think it ought to be the biggest thing to talk about. And it ought to be just something every once in a while we deal with. And it's something that is, if I disagree with you, let's stop it. Don't just keep hashing over it, worrying about it. Forget it, let's go with something else. In prophecy, they did until about 10 years ago. Now, they're getting to be. I still think, I haven't taken any polls, so I can't tell for sure. I still think that the majority of our preachers still believe basically the same thing in prophecy we did before. And all of us pretty much agree. And I was growing up, if anybody believed anything else, well, they really looked at it from here. They're crazy to believe. Now, it's not, it's okay to believe otherwise. And more, and you happen to be living in the hotbed for the difference. Houston is the seedbed for your mid-trib and post-trib doctrine in the south. In the north, it's up in Canada. In the west, it's in the middle of California. Out here in the south, Houston is the seedbed. Yes, sir?
I think that most of our trouble, most of our vision comes from maybe our own leaders, our own preachers, whatever, that you can say they go outside and talk and read the Lord's books and study the Lord, and then come back into the problems that they are part of, and then actually do the work of the Lord. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think most of our trouble comes from our preachers, yeah. who are not doing right or been in the market. Like you say, get stuff out there.
You think that it'd be true to say that God can have a church with his family? One person?
God's up the church, right. And there's a church in this church. Right. And man, it's strong. It's a good church.
And even if it's just one person down
there. Well, yeah, we could tell them we just one. There's a lot of them. But the problem lies in the fact that usually false doctrines come from big charismatic names, big leaders, big people who've got names. They're the ones that spread that stuff the most. The problem is, they're the guys who go across the country to see them, hear them preach. And they're the ones that spread it the most. And the guys that never get heard, they know better. They preach two or three down the line. Nobody hears them. Nobody hears them. Yes?
What you said is definitely true, because the spiritual gift becomes salvation to them. I mean, I've heard preachers make the statements, you know, unless you shout every church service, you're not saved. Unless you speak in tongues every single day of life, 3,000.
Now, they make these issues salvation issues, whether they are or not.
I mean, that's salvation too, really.
I've sat in service, listened to a preacher preach about how the Lord wants you in the United States Church, and he said, if you're not going to go to church, you're not going in. He said, I heard him, I don't hear.
I heard him say he was.
So to him, like I have too, I heard him say if you are, you're not going in. Why would that be?
It meant, like you say, making it a salvation issue, the preaching on this revival, end time revival thing, so you need to get in on it, and they used the time when they received from the city, the man that didn't believe was trodden down there when the gate of the city said it was going to happen to you, but you didn't believe it. And all of a sudden, you're going to be lost because you didn't get in on the same time.
Certainly. I mean, it's easy to find in the Bible some example that will, you know, they get into it. You know, you're like the Bible. You're not getting with it. You're criticizing, so you're parents. There's just not a lot of those that you can do. But there's some things in this book that don't quite line up with some of the things that they're teaching. And that's the thing that disturbs me.
I've got so many things that
right? And I don't think that's enough. I don't like it. And I'm against it. Don't like it, though. But it just happens. Not only that, but they do it, and because they're big time, big name, other guys go and mimic them. And I've seen young evangelists, one right there, get up and say those same things because he said it over there to Kent Lee. I think we ought to always preach the Bible. I think we ought to talk about it, build it, and try to get it going in our lives all the time. I think that's your thing. I think that's the best thing in the world, too, to always talk about it. Let's have a Bible, let's do the Bible. But what happens when you go to putting revival as a great act of God separate from anything that's ever been done before, is what has happened in our organization since the 1970s. When Brother Pew, I don't connect Brother Pugh with what Brother Johnson's doing. Brother Johnson's doing, you know, he's not the opposite of what Brother Pugh's doing at all, but I'm using this as an example. When Brother Pugh came, he was preaching evangelism. And the thrust of the United Pentecostal Church was man to man, house to house, let's go get them, let's reach men. And then they started what they call NOW, N-O-W, and I forget what the N-O-W stood for, but anyway, they started reaching out, and after that came the idea of God is going to bring about a revival where millions of people go. One man stood in this platform right up here in this chapel and said that here in America, he had been promised by the Lord that 1 million people were going to come into our church. And he said also that the missionary who was at that time in Mexico, that the Lord had told him the same thing. We'll give him a revival in Mexico of 1 million. Since that time, the guy's left Mexico. And so his million is not there. And this other man was a missionary in another country at the time. And he had to leave that country. And he has not seen that million yet. But anyway, here's the idea. The idea is, we are going to now just go, we're going to be just drifting along, and the Lord's going to give us this revival. So, forget this evangelism. Because, man, the thing to do is let's just believe God for the revival and let God give us the revival. But if you get that kind of attitude, you're not just as busy as you were back in Sanders, you're going to miss the revival. So let's always stay busy, and let's have revival. Let's have it. Let's do it. Revival comes when people pray, fast, seek God. And do you know most people talking about revival don't really want it? Because revival means change. Right. And if you're going to get revived, you can't be the same thing you are now. So you're asking for a vital, drastic change in your life if you're talking about revival. Of course, that's not what they're really thinking. What they're thinking is, the Lord's going to fill those people out there with the Holy Ghost, and I'm just going to keep this drifting along like I'm going. Well, that's not revival. That's harvest in the first place, and revival is a change in my life. Yes, sir?
I've got a word about as far as, you know, revival is the church. You know, you have to revive something that never was.
That's right.
You know,
what they really mean is harvest. They don't even mean revival. They mean harvest.
Isn't revival just not in our faith? Because
it says we're dead.
Yeah.
And I ain't dead. I'm as spiritual as I've ever been. I'm more spiritual than I've ever been. I'm closer to God today than I ever was. Hallelujah.
Sadly, we can't
say lie. I am revived.
Well, I mean,
you know, I know you don't. I'm just saying that I'm revived. I'm living in God. Hallelujah. I am not backslidden. I'm praying. Daily I pray. I'm seeking the face of God. My heart's happy in God. I'm joyful for the Lord. I am revived. Yeah, amen. Let's have revival. I've got it. Praise God. Yes, sir. You won't get any crop either, man. Crops don't come like that.
Right. The latter rain movement, do they teach us the apostles' day, the pouring out of Pentecost, that was the former rain?
Uh-huh.
Given moderately, and then the latter rain is yet to come.
And the latter rain will be vast and huge. And in fact, that's what they preached. They preached 3,000 guys on their Pentecost, and this new revival, instead of 3,000, it'll be 30,000. So the people, whole towns come to God. That's what they said.
The revival is greater.
Yes, sir. This guy's talking about 1 million people in one revival. And that's under his ministry. And 1 million under the guy that was in Mexico. His ministry. 1 million. God's going to give those guys that kind of thing. But he hadn't done
it.
Take it out of context.
Why would people do when they say that?
You're saying that God is bypassing his method of doing things. You're saying that God is more interested in a lot of people being saved than he is in people living for him. And I don't find that's God's attitude. God's attitude is not just, I wonder how many of these folks can I get in. His attitude is, how many people can I get to walk in my image and be like me?
That's right. Amen.
He's transferred to the United States. Yes. When he was there, he felt that the Lord gave him 1 million people. And the Lord did give him a big revival in that nation. He had the largest revival in that nation, and it did go great. But now he's transferred that to the United States. it out there in order.
Then maybe we get something we can call the quality instead of quality.
That's right. And you don't find that in this book.
Right. Just like that, it seems like you take that thing to the church that don't even have an outreach run about four anymore. Then I believe God, I want to see if it's all filled up, but they don't have an outreach, they don't do nothing, just want to stay in them.
That's right. I was in North Dakota, and there was a young lady in the church. They said, let's put 200 seats out here. I said, what for? That we're going to believe God, and we're going to have a revival by faith. 200 people in North Dakota, in this town we're going to have. How are we going to do that? She said, don't you believe God? Have faith. I said, we haven't knocked that many doors. We haven't done our footwork. She said, but the Lord's going to bring them in. I said, well, so bad. She set them out there, 200 seats. We got 15 people. They just don't. You've got to get out there and do your work.
Speak for that word to them.
That's right.
It's like going, you know, a man that really reaps a harvest of crop is the one that goes and plants that seed in that earth. If you don't, you just let that field grow up, don't think you're going to harvest the wheat. And you're going to have a problem later on.
Yeah. Say, oh, praise God. I'm just believing God. Change these wheat. Change these weeds into wheat. You won't do it. You feel the 3,000 there at Pentecost? Why are they still serving God 20 years later? Because they're devout men out of every nation. They knew the law backward and forward. They didn't come to Jerusalem for a picnic. They weren't on holiday. They didn't come for vacation. They came to worship God at Pentecost. 3,000 of them got the Holy Ghost, and 3,000 of them still haven't got 20 years down the road. Why? They have the teaching of the Word of God in their heart. You get a man filled with the Holy Ghost today, you better teach him. First, you gotta take a bunch of junk out of his life, totally turn him around, get his theology straightened out. You got a lot of work to do. Some of these weirdos that are getting Holy Ghost today, friend, you've got a big job on your hands. You gotta straighten out their brain. It's cooked. Literally. Yes. Some of that guy that cooked their brain. Can't even think straight. Yes.
What's sad is that whenever I got to church, I was just like what you said. Religious didn't have, I want to pull out of drinking, drugs, nothing like that. That's a good person. But what's sad is that all the attention gets from you. And I watch other people come into church during the time that I did, you know, and these people have problems. So people let them alone.
Yeah.
You know, and it's almost like you're not going to throw them into the things I hope they're ready for, but you know, people just kind of exhaust you because it seems like he got more Holy Ghost than he does. And they just leave the other person alone. And that person's gone. They look back at the city. They don't have Holy Ghost. They're not looking for God. They're not doing anything. And they got the same Holy Ghost that I got.
Right.
Just that I had a different background. That's what we kind of handicap people that way. So it's our own fault. We're not doing good.
Old Brother Foss used to say, most people make it in spite of us rather than because of us. And that is the truth. We're the only bunch in the world I know of that can kill this young so quick. For so many reasons. And we've done it for years. We kill them by neglect. Or we kill them, we've always got some old hand out there that sees you hadn't straightened your hair up yet. So you got to come tell you right quick to get that all straight. And if you're not, you're going to hell. And then you got somebody that just says, "Ooh, praise God, you got it," but let you go. And you got all kinds of things. So that's why I'm telling you, I'm not up there just clapping my gum just to be talking about it. I'm here today. It ought to be different with you. Build some churches, build some people, do some things to make people live for God. Remember, in this last day, three things. Overemphasis on the power of God rather than righteousness. having all this great power and great revival rather than putting shoe leather and making it walk. Great emphasis on praise to a God people don't pray to. Now, is it happening or not? How many sermons did you hear over here in the chapel this year? And how many of them are on praising God? Now, don't misunderstand that. I'm not against praising God. I'm all for it. Don't stop any praising you're doing. Keep it up. Do more of it. But remember this. Our emphasis is getting more and more on praise your way through it. Praise your way out of it. Well, you better start praying your way out of something. Praising a God you don't pray to. Over from the gifts of the Spirit, what I can get out of God, rather than Him being my Lord and Master. Jesus said, how can you call me Lord and Master and don't do what I say? That's a contradiction of terms. Oh, you're my Lord. And if I get a chance, I'll be there Sunday. And if I don't, I'll let you know. You fit in my little box, Lord, and if you, and don't get out of the box, you'll be right there. Do I need you? You're a good spare tire. When my battle flat, I'll be calling. Otherwise, you stay in the trunk. Just don't bother my day. I got a trap. Well, I ain't gonna get it. I'm not gonna make it. How are you gonna cut? Oh, you're my Lord. I just don't do what you tell me. That's a contradiction.
That's right.
He's Lord. You do what he says.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Yeah, and we love all the goodies we can get out of it, but we don't obey.
That's right.
We enjoy all this we can get. I'm gonna tell you something. He's gonna try you and test you and prove you. And if you've got, if you're made out of that kind of stuff, you'll make it. If you're not, you won't be it long. There's people right here, right now, here to me. You'll be in a charismatic.
Well, beautiful. Before I came by, when I was going to another church, and I was playing a little bit of hypocrite, and where I was just like, on Sunday nights, I was trying to pray up to do it, Monday I had to go back to what I wanted to do, or I was picking the Bible on Sunday. I tried to pray my way out of it, and I started praying, and you know, I asked God, and when He knew that I was trying to get out of it, there was about a month and a half. I could not speak in tongues. I could shout all I wanted to get to a bit of God. And I was sitting praying one night and I started crying. I asked God why. I want to know why. And He told me, He just said, how many times are you going to keep praying back to me and doing this? He said, don't you prove yourself. Man, I had to go through a lot to prove myself. But it just made up my mind where I was going to prove myself or not.
Yeah.
Too many people come by and they just praise God and they want to pray through just the blessings, you know, get through the week, maybe to find some blessings or something. They pray their way out of it, so to say, but they don't ever get to the Word of God.
It's
hard to go through that period of time like that.
Sure is. But you've got to have it. If you don't, you don't make it.
Brother Indy mentioned the message that Brother Graves preached in the chapel about the pastors, the illegitimate children want to accept chastisement. They want everything from God, and they want their life to be good on earth, and they want material blessings, but they don't want to accept chastisement. They don't want their life to change. They don't want to be reproved.
Yeah. And in the midst of all that, there's some folks that are going to be chastised. There's some folks that are going to allow God to change them. There's some people that's going to live for God. And I intend to be one of them. I'm planning on, I'm going to be one. I don't care if everybody else in the world goes away. I'm intending to live for God.
It goes back to
I made up my mind. When I started, I made up my mind. If the whole movement goes to hell, I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
I've made up my mind. I'm not going to be pressured into it by friends. I've got a lot of friends that try a lot of pressure. I got some right now. They think I'm a little too strict. I'll relax a little bit. But I'm not going to do it. I made up my mind when I started this thing. I'm like Caleb now, that mountain's mine.
All
and
right.
Ain't nobody gonna take away from me.
Amen.
Mine.
Come on, where you go back
heard a minister preach on the prodigal son and saying the reason why the prodigal left was because he was tired of hard. The thing was a matter of being tired of hard, except that he didn't want to accept responsibility.
I think that's a whole lot of it.
Of
I think there's two things there, really. I think there's a not wanting to take responsibility, number one, and this fantasy world of how great it is over on the other side.
agency, we didn't want to accept responsibility, and we want to hog out our rights, what we're supposed to get from God. But we're not responsible even with what we have now. And we're not being responsible and obedient to what God has set before
us. He can't give you two riches. That's in Luke 16. That's right. That's what the Bible said. That's in the book. Yes, sir.
Even though things that are most of our praying is when they pray for the rain coming down, the prophet that I say, after the rain coming, start praying for after the rain coming, you've got to believe God for it. You kept on praying for it until it came. And then the way I was taught is, well, once you ask him, you pray for how you get it.
He did, because Christ preached it out in California, and when he preached it, and somebody picked it up and put it in a little charismatic book, and it spread across the country, and our preachers read it, and they start, evangelists start preaching all over the country, and now it's in every church almost in our movement, we've heard it preached.
That's all he said.
But it ain't book, man.
I said that whole thing for 3 months, but I started praying, and so he got me down to the point for it, and then I got it.
Hallelujah. Listen to charismatic, start listening to Bible.
Hallelujah.
Every promise is conditional. Now praise God. Still got a lid on, got a hand.